I think a lot of us here have paid a lot of attention to the political discourse or what's been going on. And one of the words that's been used a lot in different variations is, this scares me, or I'm scared, or this is scary, or just a lot of this anxiety. What I'm going to talk about a little bit today and just go over in our readings is, here we have a response. We have a tradition that's stood strong and made a difference through times like these. Communities have come together and said, we're here. This is us. There's a way to view the world and have it make sense that works in this way. The title this morning is Blue Boat Home. That's the song. And as I said in my piece in the Beacon, I sort of focused on the word home out of that. Blue boat. It's the earth, but it's blue boat home. What I didn't say in the confusion up here is when I started to get in the boat, but Alex was in it and everybody else wanted in it, you know, is that I feel at home in that boat. When I get in that boat, I feel right. I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm there for. The world feels good. I'm in right relationship. I just like that. Now, that's changing because I'm getting to where I may not be able to fit in that boat the way I do and enjoy it in those ways. But that feels good to me, that sense of home. And I think we can have that. We all have it in our different ways, but we can also have it in our lives and in our daily lives. And we can carry it with us so that we're not vulnerable. I wrote a piece years ago about a politician at the time that was I was having a hard time with. And I said, I didn't want how I felt about my day to be vulnerable to that person. I wasn't going to give that over anymore. And I hear that from a lot of people coming up to me and saying, did you hear what? And I feel terrible, and they're all cranked. But I said, nope, not going to have it. Because this is where I live, this is where I move, and it's not yours. So that's what I want to say. This is from this book, Big Questions, Worthy Dreams, Mentoring Young Adults in Their Search for Meaning, Purpose, and Faith. But it could be mentoring anybody, by Sharon Parks. And it's something I've used before. She starts out by saying what a 24-year-old man named Jedediah Purdy wrote. He said, we doubt the possibility of being at home in the world, yet we desire that home above all else. We desire that home above all else, but we doubt the possibility of really feeling that way. It's the most powerful word in the English language. It's where we start from. It's what we aspire to. To be at home is to have a place in the scheme of life, a place where we are comfortable, know that we belong, can be who we are, and can honor, protect, and create what we truly love. To settle into that. To be at home within oneself, place community in the cosmos, is to feel whole and centered in a way that yields a sense of power and participation. Wilfred Cantwell Smith says, he calls faith a quality of human living. At its best, it has taken the form of a quiet confidence and joy which enable one to feel at home in the universe. A quiet confidence and joy. Hold on to those words. At home. Where? Everywhere. In the universe. To be deeply at home in this world is to dwell in a worthy faith. Notice the words in there. It's not an insular understanding of home. It says to be at home where? In the scheme of life, in the universe, in the cosmos. It's a grown-up sense and feeling of home and home sought. One of the readings that we're very familiar with is Mary Oliver's poem Wild Geese. I've forgotten what number it is in the hymnal if you wanted to look it up, but don't do that because I'm going to try to do it from memory. It's 490. but she says, and listen how similar these words are. She says, you do not have to be good. You do not have to walk on your knees for 100 miles through the desert repenting. You only have to let the soft animal of your body love what it loves. Tell me about despair, yours, and I will tell you mine. Meanwhile, the world goes on. Meanwhile, the sun and the clear pebbles of the rain are moving across the landscapes, over the prairies and the deep trees, the mountains and the rivers. Meanwhile, high in the clean blue air, the wild geese are heading home again. Whoever you are, no matter how lonely, whoever you are, no matter how lonely, the world offers itself to your imagination. The world offers itself to your imagination. Calls to you like the wild geese, harsh and exciting, over and over announcing your place in the family of things. Your place, home in the family of things. Blue boat. The world offers itself to your imagination, your place in the family of things, home. It says that you belong in the universe. Let's be clear. I realized as I was reading it that, again, is that the announcement is not just all warm and fuzzy. She says, like the wild geese, harsh and exciting. Harsh. It's demanding and life-filled. It's startling in the sense of, oh, that's me. I have to wake up and do that. That's the harsh. But exciting is the possibility, the life energy that doesn't have you all constricted in by what you have to do. And then we are called to respond, each in our own way. And you say, yes, but not me. Nope, who am I? Nobody's going to make this be home if you and I don't. And one of the things we have today is we have visitors among us who have been, we consider them our heroes. We look back on them and say, they kept the dream alive. They established this tradition. And that's very true. But at the time, many of them were no different than you or I in this moment. And last week we talked about that. That Annie Dillard reading, remember that? We'll repeat it again. And some people will say, you're saying the same thing over and over. No, I'm not. Because you hear it differently every time you hear it in a different depth. Annie Dillard says and reminds us, there is no one but us. There is no one but us. There is no one to send, nor a clean hand, nor a pure heart on the face of the earth, nor in the earth, but only us. Only us, a generation comforting ourselves with the notion that we have come at an awkward time, that our innocent fathers are all dead, as if innocence ever had been, and our children busy and troubled, and we ourselves unfit, not yet ready, having each of us chosen wrongly, made a false start, failed, yielded to impulse and the tangled comfort of pleasures, and grown exhausted, unable to seek the thread, weak and involved. But there is no one but us. She says, there never has been. So take a moment, since we talked about, I started that out by saying, home. And when I read that reading, home is a word that feels good to say. It fits in my mouth. It feels good to say in my mouth because it resonates in my being. Home. Home. So let's take a moment, and we're going to do a little chanting. I just want you to say Om, that Tibetan sound. And what is that sound? They say it's what? The sound of the universe. A sound that holds the scheme of things. And how does it sound? Let's all do it together. Om. 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 Now just add an H on it. And what do you say? Om. Om. Home. 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 So if we said, I should have that memorized, but to be at home, to be at home, home, is to have a place in the scheme of life, a place where we are comfortable, know that we belong, can be who we are, and can honor, protect, and create what we truly love. Om, om, om. It's not insular, as I said. It's not this place. It's not my boat. It's in the universe, the scheme of life. It's what we can make available. It's what we can share so everybody has the opportunity to do that. The words we used at the beginning, I said, was scared, scary. I feel like I want to get away, retreat. I feel threatened. It's hard to feel that home. I read an editorial by Timothy Egan, who said that in talking about that, he said the beast is us, that we get mad at the presidential nominees and what they're saying, but a lot of it resides with the people. And I'm going to say a politician's name. So he says that what's going on resides with the people. And he says, yes, you. Donald Trump's supporters know exactly what he stands for, but the point is not Donald Trump. Don't go there. The point is this: there are people who stand for, who know this, all right? Hatred of immigrants, racial superiority, a sneering disregard of the basic civility that binds a society, educated and poorly educated alike, men and women, they know what they're getting, and they're looking for it. The people in our country, these are the people in our country who are sick and tired of tolerance. One of the things we hold up is tolerance. Sick and tired of tolerance. Does that make them the intolerant? But it definitely is a vision of home as a closed circle. In other words, if you are within that group, you feel good, you're held, but that means there are all these others who are outside the group and outside the conditions, which you say are home. Home is a closed circle. Does that mean that you treat everyone outside that circle as homeless? We are an open circle. An open circle. We know where we stand. We're open. We can extend our hands out. We can also drop our hands and welcome people in an embrace. So think home. Think home in the universe. Think home on our planet Earth. Think of doing our understanding of home as on our planet, this blue boat home. Here as the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship of Hendersonville, we're all householders in the Buddhist sense, living out our spirituality within the difficulties of daily life. Home builders. I started to say homemakers, but then Julia Ward Howe took exception to that word, and so I step back from it. Life supporters, but then you frame it universalists. So take strength and courage from this, from here, that it's not just here and now, but the stream, the river, the flow of people and tradition who have come before us at home in the universe. Not that you've imagined a closed circle of special and safe, but you're taking this challenge of a wider embrace. If we think about our forebears who are here today, I started to call them forefathers, but then I was reminded to say forefathers and mothers, and then forebears. We'll try that. But if you look at William Ellery Channing, who stood there and said, Jesus is not a God. That's what made it Unitarian. There's only one God. But Jesus, you could think, know Jesus as the Son of God, but it means you can aspire to be like Jesus. You're not focused on the weird theology of different things, but you can aspire to be like. It was an exalted view of human possibility. You can do that. Ralph Waldo Emerson came along and said, that's all fine and good, but the goodness that you know is in you, and Channing said, there's goodness in you that's put there by God, but that's how you come to know God, is from the goodness that you live out in your life. So you make the connection by living out that goodness. Emerson said, you don't need to have that mediated through a minister or through a book, the Bible, or religion like we'd come to know it. He said, you can know it through the experience of your life. You can know it through engagement with others. He said, revelation is ongoing. That experience of what it means to live well is ongoing all the time. If you listen to Judith Sargent Murray, what she didn't tell you was that she compiled John Murray's writings and his sermons when he was too ill to do it. She was a writer in her own right, playwright. But that said, there was no hell. That was the preaching that said, there is no hell. A loving God would not condemn people to hell. That's that inclusive voice that we're having to live out. If you go on with each of these, you'll find that every one of them is an abolitionist. Okay? An abolitionist, and yet here we are in times where we're seeing racism, in a sense, it's been covered, but now it's getting uncovered in some way. We're seeing it, and we thought it was gone, but it's not. And we're in the position of how do we address these issues. Olympia Brown, the other thing she didn't tell you was she actually got to vote for women, got to vote for president in 1920, which was the first time women got to vote. Sitting here, if you'll remember that. And she was 85 years old when she got to do that. So that would be if you got to vote this year, Joan, for the first time in your life for the president, it would be the equivalent of Olympia Brown doing that. So when we get afraid that we don't have a response, we have a very powerful response. And it's something we understand. We understand how it feels to be in right relationship. We understand how it feels to feel like we're at home. And we can share that. We can think about others and share that. We stand in a tradition of trying to be at home in the universe, not just at home in our space, but in the universe in a universal way, and creating that home for everyone. I realized, too, this is kind of an aside, but I'd never thought this way before. The abolitionists, when our nation went to war, and we understood it in history, they went to war to free human beings. What does that mean? That meant there were also a nation that went to war for the right to enslave human beings. The people that somebody was fighting against were fighting to keep enslaving people. That energy hasn't gone away, anyway, that was just an aside. But it's real. So we stand in the tradition of inclusion and freedom and rights and opportunity for everybody. We can see lots of progress in those things in lots of different areas. But we're for an inclusive place in the family of things. This inclusive place, which reflects the nature of the family of things. There are others you might visit at coffee hour, not just our heroes and heroines back from the dead. But Wendell, it's tax season, so I don't think Wendell and Deanna Capes are here. Are they? They're here. They're back in the quiet room. Hey, guys. Wendell and Deanna. Well, they're our founders. This fellowship, you being here, they are the remaining people from the group that originally founded this place, who said, we're going to have a congregation, we're going to create this space in Hendersonville, North Carolina. So there's a founder. Talk to them in fellowship. You can imagine writing them up later. That's what they did. They established a congregation. Last week, I talked about Kelly Walker, who's a member of this congregation, as an educational reformer for her role at Balfour Elementary as the principal and making that a year-round school, but also a magnet school, which was bilingual. So, and is Judy Long here today? Oh, Judy's over here. I'm going to embarrass her. But if you think and look back later, Judy is a Unitarian Universalist minister. So you look back and you look at Hendersonville and you say, who's a person who is working on medical care and help for those in need and immigration and education programs, and is that person? Later on, you could write Judy's name down. Exactly. And you look around the room, you see that. How many are past presidents of this congregation who are in this room? Yeah, see, they raise their hands. There are about a dozen of them. So now think of all the members and friends who are here. Look around. Think about being guests. Or if you just come in the door and are a part of this, we're all together in this Blue Boat home. We're all together making this space so that Hendersonville feels right, so that I can have the support of those around me and not get so scared that I lose my way and my strength of how to be in the world, how to keep creating home, and how to keep creating to that push of making it be real in the world. That inclusive vision, real in our lives, in our community, and in the world around us. When we talk about pledge campaign, people talk about money and raise money, and the church asks for money. Yeah, it's about that. I mean, it always has to be that. But it's also about our opportunity to share in this big opportunity, this big tradition, and then to make it available to everyone. You don't have to pay to come through these doors. You just come in. And then you make your choice about how it connects with you and how it should. Think about that in our world and what space that creates.